The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Okay, now the 10 cent excise cut is taking effect from today, from midnight last night. Forecourt operators are warning, though, that prices won't actually be seen to drop immediately. And then we have the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, warning that there'll be an international shortfall of oil this year and fears that the Iran war could tip the world into recession. Joining us to discuss all this is Kevin McPartin, CEO of Fuels Ireland, and Emma Harrod, economist at Trinity. Is it TUD, Emma?
TU Dublin, yes.
TUD, exactly. I thought it was TUD. Kevin, I'll go to you first. Tell us what's happening in relation to price. How long will it take before we see that excise cut actually showing itself at the forecourt?
Well, you're already seeing it in a large number of sites, Shane. So people understand how this works. When the excise cut is implemented, it happens at midnight, but it happens at the taxation point, and that means that it's when it leaves the terminals. And in the last week, we've all come to know where those terminals are for various other reasons. But it's the point that the truck leaves the terminal. That's the taxation point. So if it was at 11.59 last night, it was charged at the higher level of excise. If it was at 12.01 this morning, it was at the lower level. So not every forecourt will have got a delivery since midnight or a truck that left the terminal since midnight, but a large number have, and they have already been reducing their excise cost to consumers. So, and how long does it take to get all the way through the system? As I've said before, it will take a couple of days. But when I say a couple of days, I mean that a tiny number, you know, in 48 hours, maybe still at the higher rate. But it's just as it washes through the system. The bulk of sites and the very high volume sites will see it already.
Okay, is supply close to being back to normal at this stage, Kevin?
No. It's the distribution is back to normal, but we're playing catch up. You know, we lost a number of days. So by the end of this evening, I think we should be down to around about 300 sites across the country that are without fuel. That's down from 700 just kind of 48 hours ago, really. But the reality is it takes a little bit of time to catch up. And now we're at the stage where we're actually having to do the second top up of those very busy sites that were stocked out. But what we have done is we've been very careful to make sure that we don't leave any sort of areas without fuel, so that, you know, if there's three garages in a town, we'll make sure that one of them gets fuel straight away, so that we're not leaving the town out of supply. We're making sure that sites that have a particular dependence for the emergency services are getting their supplies reinstated straight away, or were reinstated straight away. So we're actually a little bit ahead of schedule. I think I might have been on with you and saying it could take up to 10 days.
Yeah.
As things stand at the moment, we're looking like we're a little bit ahead of that. But the, you know, it's without it, to get to the.
Oh, Kevin, we're starting. Kevin, we just started to lose you a little bit. I don't know if you moved or where you are at the moment. I might just chance a couple more questions. We'll see how your line is. What's the price of a typical litre now with the 10 cent off? What's the price now of a typical litre of petrol and diesel now?
Well, every site makes up their own price.
I know, so I accept that. I accept there will be variation. Yeah. But is there a mean price or an average price?
I think I have to say now, I haven't compiled any data on this in the last 24 hours. I know that the average prices were around about 218 before the excise duty cut came in. So you'll be looking at down to sort of 28, 29 for diesel. And I have to say, I can't remember the last figure for petrol. I just don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, no, fair enough. One last thing. I heard Timmy Dooley, the Minister of State, last night talking about ongoing threats and intimidation, even after the blockades have ended, of fuel tank drivers. Can you update us on that situation? I was flabbergasted to hear that this might still be happening.
Well, I mean, we seem to live in a time when there are some kind of anonymous keyboard warriors who feel that they're entitled to start throwing insults and abuse and threats around. And we still have had some of our people subject to those. There were people who were identified by I'm not even going to call them protesters, because decent people protest and non-decent people threaten. But there were some people who were recognised by people who were driving tanker trucks, who were then named, and their contact details were put up online, and they have been getting some really vile abuse.
Oil to petrol stations, or petrol to petrol stations.
Yeah, the incredulity in your voice, I'll match. Yeah, that's what these people did wrong. You know, it's appalling.
And some politicians have been reluctant to condemn that activity. Any response to that?
Look, I'm not here to mark anybody else's homework. I know what I think of people who behave like that. I know how it impacts on families. I get it myself. I know how it impacts on me. If somebody stands over that and thinks that that's an appropriate way to behave, that's a matter for them and their conscience. I'm not commenting on it.
Fair enough. Kevin McPartland, CEO of Fuels Ireland, thank you indeed for talking to us. Emma Howard, economist at TUD Dublin, or TU Dublin, I should say. Thank you indeed for talking to us. The IMF warning about the potential for a world recession. Do you think it's likely if things keep going the way they're going?
Yeah, so the IMF warning today that escalation or continued conflict is likely to lead to a global recession, and that we could see inflation levels of over 6% if the Strait of Hormuz stays closed as it is. There's a huge amount of uncertainty still at the moment. So, you know, we did have a fall in oil prices. So I think latest I looked, it's pretty volatile, but the latest I looked, they were at about $95 a barrel. That's still up 32% from the start of the war, but those prices had come down because Trump had announced that, you know, that there was an imminent end. So it really is still anyone's guess. But what is really obvious now is how reliant and over-reliant we are on fossil fuels, and how huge the impact it is on Ireland, particularly because we import so much of our energy. So, you know, the EU average of energy imports is 57%. We're at 80%. And we really need to be looking at ways to reduce that reliance on fossil fuels, to decarbonize our economy and reduce that fuel demand.
Undoubtedly. But in the short to medium term, we are going to continue this dependency. If the price of oil continues to rise, and the way things are going in the Gulf, that's not an unrealistic scenario. What impact will it have on our economy? What impact will it have on our budget? Because we have spent a lot of money on this package, and it's 750 million, but it only takes us up to July. So we could be looking at billions. And there's a view out there that we have this massive surplus that we can afford to spend loads more money. Is that realistic?
It's not. And so on paper, we did have a budget surplus projected for this year, but that budget surplus was 5 billion. So if you take it that this package, 750 million up to the end of July, that's eating up a reasonable amount of that. But additionally, we tend to overspend every year, particularly when it comes to the Department of Health, for example. So, you know, we almost always spend more than is projected in the budget. So if you take into account those overspends plus this additional package, there's very little wriggle room left in that budget surplus that we have on paper. The additional concern is that if you take away what we call the windfall corporation tax receipts, so those are the corporation taxes that are paid here that are not really based on economic activity that's happening in Ireland, we actually had a budget deficit of 13 billion. So we are really reliant on these corporation tax receipts. And actually, those are hugely concentrated. Latest analysis from the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council shows that actually 50% of that corporation tax is paid by just three foreign multinational firms.
Okay.
So we're really planning and spending all this money based on streams of revenue that we cannot guarantee into the future.
Okay. How worried are you about the future, about our economic future?
Look, in terms of the immediate impact, I think that, you know, it's not like people are comparing it to the Russia-Ukraine crisis. And, you know, we saw the levels of inflation spiking at 9% there and a huge cost of living crisis for people. We're not in the same position because I think it gets forgotten, but, you know, pre Russia invading Ukraine, we were already at inflation levels of around 5% because we were coming out of COVID. There was pent up demand and a lot of money being spent in the economy that people had saved over the COVID shutdowns. So we were coming into this conflict in a better position. So I don't see those, and you know, a lot of the modelling from the central bank and from the ESRI are projecting that we are going to have higher than expected inflation this year and lower than expected growth. But as it stands, we are not expecting an imminent recession. But of course, that depends a lot on what happens with this conflict and unfortunately on the whims of Trump's chaotic and random decisions in the White House.
Frightening prospect. Emma Howard, economist at TU Dublin, thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.